the book of Joel tonight, the little book of Joel, sandwiched in between the books of Hosea and the book of Amos. Joel chapter number 3. I've been praying the last couple of days, and especially this afternoon, as to the direction the Lord would have us to take for the service tonight. And I hope you will pray that God will give us that which we need in this hour, that He will stir our hearts and challenge our hearts and help us tonight, that we might sense His presence in a very real and special way tonight. Amos chapter number 3, and as you find your place, would you stand with us, please, in reverence to the Word of God tonight as we begin reading in verse number 11. Joel chapter number 3 and verse number 11. The Bible says, "Assemble yourselves and come, all ye heathen, and gather yourselves together round about. Thither calls thy mighty ones to come down, O Lord. Let the heathen be awakened and come up to the valley of Jehoshaphat. For there will I sit to judge all the heathen round about. Put ye in the sickle, for the harvest is ripe. Come, get you down, for the press is full. The fats overflow, for their wickedness is great. Multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision. For the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision." You may be seated as we pray. Father, we are keenly conscious tonight of our need of you, and how I pray that your Holy Spirit would speak to us, move on us and challenge us and help us tonight, Father, that as we stand, that we might open your word to the hearts of these dear people. And I pray that you might challenge us tonight. May we catch a fresh vision of you and all of your glory and all of your power, Lord. And I pray that, Father, tonight that our souls might be burdened afresh for a world that is dying lost without you. Now I pray that, Lord, that you might do for us tonight in this service what only you can do. May we see you, may we sense you, may we let you undergird and guide us and direct us and help us tonight in this service. Please, Father, forgive us of our sin. And Father, help us tonight, I pray, that we might look to you, that we might lean on you in these days more than ever before. Cleanse us now of our sin. Father, do for us tonight what only you can do. And Father, we'll be so careful to thank you, to praise you, to honor you for all that's done. For we ask it in that name that's above every name, the precious name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen and amen. As we look at these verses of Scripture tonight, I want to think on the thought of reaping the harvest. Reaping the harvest. As we are looking at these verses here, verse number 14 particularly draws our attention to the fact that multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision. For the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision. As you go back and look in history and look at the Word of God, the Bible tells us that the first century Christians reached the whole world with the gospel. Look, if you will, in the book of Colossians, chapter 1, for just a moment tonight. Colossians chapter number 1, and we see this truth and this reality that in this first century Christian movement, that the world was reached with the gospel. Look at what Paul said in writing to the church in Colossians in verse number 4 of chapter number 1. Paul said, "Since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love which you have to all the saints for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof ye heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel, which is come unto you, as it is into all the world, and bringeth forth fruit as it doth also in you, since the day ye heard of it, and knew the grace of our God. The whole world had heard the gospel. My, how far we have come from the first century Christians. Is our task tonight any less than it was when Paul called what had been called by the Lord? You look at the task that our Lord has laid before us. And in verse 13, back there in the book of Joel, you find the task of the harvest. Oh, listen, Paul was looking or had looked at that task. And in the Old Testament in Joel, the task was the same. The task is the same today. The gospel has gone out, but it has not reached our world. You and I are living in a world where over 3 billion, almost 4 billion people in the world today that have never heard the name of Jesus. But in Paul's day, the whole world had heard the gospel. Almost 60% of our world does not have the word of God in their language. Jesus never said that we should pray for the Lord to help us find the harvest. But he did say that we should pray for the harvest and that we should go into the world and tell them the good news. I was looking at some things today and I saw that there's 7,388 languages in the world. But only 724 of them have a full Bible. Now, I'm not saying they're all King James by any stretch of the imagination, because of some of the groups that I know that are translating, they probably won't be. But whether they're King James or what, they say they have translated the Bible in only 700 different languages. Only 1,612 others have a complete New Testament. And only another 1,248 have portions of the Scripture. What a task that is laid before us to carry the gospel to a lost and dying world, to share with them the need of a Savior, for someone to go and to translate this Bible into the languages of this world. What a plenteous harvest is before us. What are we doing to reach it? The harvest is precious. Jesus said in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's God's plan. That's God demonstrating his love to the world. Peter said in 1 Peter 1:18-19, for as much as we know that we were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation, where received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Oh my goodness, the harvest is precious. So precious that God sent his only begotten Son to leave all that heaven had to offer. The beauty, the splendor, the praise that he had been given from all of the eternal ages in the past. And he finally came to the place where Father said, Son, would you go? And Jesus said, Father, I'll go and pay the price. And he became the first missionary that this world ever knew anything about. He left his country. He left his family. He left his language. He left everything he had known and came to a world that would hate him and despise him and reject him and finally crucify him on an old rugged cross. Why? So that you and I might have the privilege of knowing him as our personal saviors. So that you and I might have the opportunity to hear the gospel story and to know that God loved us and died for us and died for me and died for you. And that in knowing that, that we too might be willing to share him with others. Why? Because this harvest is perishing. John chapter 4 and verse number 35. All the Bible tells us here in this verse of scripture. Let me just read it to you instead of trying to quote it from memory. John 4 and verse number 35. Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh the harvest. Behold, I say unto you, and this is God's question to us tonight. Lift up your heads. Lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. What did that mean? It meant they were on the verge of ruin. They were on the verge of falling off of the vines and perishing. And Jesus is saying this world is on the verge of dying and going to hell. And unless someone goes and carries the message and lets them know the truth of God's love, they'll die in their sin. That's our task. That's our responsibility. To take this gospel to a lost and dying world. Because the harvest is precious. But the harvest is perishing. Do you care? Do I care? Do I care enough to go? Do I care enough to pray? Do I care enough to be involved in the greatest thing going on planet Earth tonight? The gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, my dear friend, that's our task tonight. Our task is to take the gospel. Our task is to represent him. Our task is to show others that Jesus loves them and that Jesus died for the sin of the whole world. And may I say to you tonight that as you think of this responsibility and of this task, and we can ignore it and we can put it off and we can say, well, you know, God's not called me to preach. God didn't say anything in here about it being the preacher's responsibility. It's all of our responsibilities to share the good news that Jesus saves. And I'll tell you this, God would never put you in a task that he does not provide the tools for you to use. As God provides the task of the harvest for us to share the good news with them, God will then give us the tools that we need. He said here, put you in the sickle in verse 13. For the harvest is ripe. Now, I don't know if any of you ever used a sickle. I have used an old sling blade when I was a kid growing up trying to cut grass, and that was for the birds. But I never will forget when we were visiting one of our missionaries in Germany and we were going down the Autobahn. If you can imagine, we were going somewhere between 120 and 140 miles an hour, and they were passing us like we were sitting still. And I caught a glimpse from the right as we were going down the highway of a man using a sickle, harvesting paps along the side of the highway. I think that's what he was doing. You're not there long enough to really get a good glimpse of what's happening there. But he was using one of those sickles. Oh, that reaping hook that was used to harvest grain. God's given us some precious tools tonight. He's given us the tool of prayer. Know how we need to pray that God would reach these people that are unsaved, and that God would help us to reach them that are unsaved, that we'd pray for them. Do you pray for your missionaries? Do you pray for those that are lost in your community, your family, your friends, your neighbors? Listen, we have the tool of prayer. Nothing can stop praying. You don't have to have an education. You don't have to have any money. All you got to do is say, Lord, I need you to touch this heart. I need you to change this life. I need you to reach out. God, help me to know what I can do for reaching them. The tool of prayer. Are you using that tool? Don't let it get rusty. Don't let it lose its edge. Don't let your prayer life get you so far from God because you don't have one, that you can't sense His presence in your life. But God's not only give you the tool of prayer, He's give you the tool of possessions. You do know that everything you own tonight's not really yours anyway. It's God's. God gave you, God gave me everything that we have tonight. And God's been good to us. He's been good to let us live in America. God's been good to let us live in the South. God's been good to let us see and to know all of the goodness of God that He's bestowed upon us in these days. And God has given us good homes and good automobiles. And we're all got plenty of food to eat on the table. And how now can we hold back from God anything that He asks of us? He's give us the privilege to pray. He's give us our possessions. But He's give us good preaching as well, to proclaim the good news. God's give you a good church where you can come and attend. And you've got a good man of God that stands in this pulpit week after week and preaches the Word of God. And he tries to have men in that will be a strength and an encouragement and a challenge and a help to you. And oh, listen, how God uses pulpit preaching to strengthen us and encourage us and challenge us. And you better lift up your preacher and pray for him and encourage his heart, that God will give him the messages that you need every time he steps in this pulpit. But then we also have personal preaching. What do you mean, preacher? That's every one of our jobs. We're to be a testimony. We're to let this world know that our Savior is a loving Savior, a good Savior, a kind Savior, and that God has spoken to my heart through the Word of God, and now I want to speak to your heart through the Word of God. This is everybody's job, to be a sharer of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Oh my, God's give us the tools we need to reach this world. But not only that, you see the trust of the harvest. Look at verse 13 again. Put ye in the sickle. That little word, ye. Now, you know that in the King James, if God is speaking to a person individually, the scripture would refer to them as thee or thou. But if he's talking to all of you, he would use the pronoun you or ye. And the Bible says, put ye in the sickle. Every one of us, God wants us to put in the sickle. He wants us each and every one to realize that we have a personal trust in the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. God has trusted us with the harvest. God is trusting us to see that the good news goes out across the highways and hedges. It's a partnership trust. We don't just go out on our own. We are partnering with the Holy Spirit. We're partnering with the Word of God. We are being a partner to to do what God would have us to do. John's Gospel, chapter 4, John put it this way in John 4, verses 36 through 38. He said, "And he that reapeth receiveth wages, and gathereth fruit unto life eternal, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. And herein is that saying true, one soweth and another reapeth. I sent you to reap that whereon ye bestowed no labor. Other men labored, and ye are entered into their labors." We are laborers together. You may be giving here today, and you may not labor enough that you may win someone, but somebody may come along behind you and help share the gospel with those same people that you've shared the gospel with, and they might be getting saved and trust Christ as their Savior, but you'll have a part in their labor. And that's why missions is so important, so that while you are giving here to the mission outreach of your church, and other missionaries are given to help support that same missionary, and you are laborers together, you're entering into each other's labors to do the work of God. It's a partnership, but then it's a perpetual trust. It's a continuation. Every time you give a mission offering, every time you send a missionary a special gift, every time you do something to help that missionary on the field, and you're carrying him on, you're strengthening him, you're encouraging him, you're helping him to keep going and keep pressing on and to keep doing the labor, and others come along behind you. You may not be able to keep carrying on the work. That missionary may not be able to keep carrying on that work, but that work still goes after he leaves, and somebody else comes and picks that work up and carries it on. It is a perpetual trust. Amen. To you. You may never know the full extent of your mission giving till you get to heaven, till you stand before the judgment seat of Christ, and then you will find out what your mission dollars truly and really accomplished in the lives of men and women, boys and girls. But then in verse 14, one other thing I want you to see. The Bible says multitudes. Multitudes in the valley of decision. For the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision. This is the tragedy of the harvest. Many tonight are in the valley of decision. Many tonight that you may have talked to, many tonight that the missionaries on the mission fields may have talked to and preached to and tried to help them come to know the Lord as their personal Savior. Many tonight are on the verge of death. Many tonight are on the verge of rejecting Christ the last time. Many tonight are going to make a decision. Yes, I'll get saved. Yes, I'll surrender to Him. Or they will turn and walk away and never hear the gospel again. Probably to me, the saddest verse in the whole Bible is the book of Jeremiah, chapter 8, and verse number 20. Jeremiah said, "The harvest is past, the summer's ended, and we're not saved." How sad tonight. How many people are standing on the verge of eternity tonight? How many people will die before the sun comes up tomorrow, and they'll die lost, and they'll wake up in hell to burn forever and forever and forever because they've rejected Christ? Oh, do we care? Are we burdened Does it bother us? Does it stir our hearts to think that there may be multitudes of people tonight that our tracks have reached, that our radio broadcasts have reached, that our missionaries have gone and shared the gospel with? They said, no, not tonight, not today, some other time, when I have a more convenient season, I'll trust Christ as my Savior. But the tragedy comes as they draw their last breath. Suddenly in that automobile accident, their life is taken. Someone breaks into their home and takes their life. Have a heart attack. And they go unconscious, never to have another opportunity to trust Christ as their Savior. What a tragedy. How sad. How sad that it'll be for those that now lost. Oh, my dear friend, tonight, are we reaping the harvest? Are we concerned about those that are perishing? Or are because we're here with our family and our family's safe and we feel like all of our family's going to heaven and that's really all that matters? Oh no, that's not all that matters. There's a multitude of people that God loves tonight that He wants to be saved. And He said, I want you to reach them. I want you to give so the missionaries can go. I want you to answer the call tonight to preach. I want you to say, yes, Lord, I'll go wherever it is you'd have me to go. Would you say yes to Him tonight? Wherever it might be. To whoever it may be that God wants you to reach. Reaping the harvest. Oh, how we need for God to change our hearts. How we need to realize the urgency of the hour. How we need to realize that God has put us in the fields to reap the harvest. Would you listen to His small voice tonight? Would you say, Lord, here am I. What would you have me to do? Lord, I'm willing to go. I'm willing to give. Lord, I'm willing to pray for those that are going, and I'll give so they can go. Lord, whatever you'd have me to do. Wherever I can benefit you the most. That should be our prayer. That should be our concern. That should be our desire tonight. Not to do what we want to do, but to do what we can do to best serve Him. Amen. And when our hearts have been changed, when we realize the urgency of the hour, it will not matter the where. It won't matter how old you may be. You know, some people think that because they've gotten old, they can't do anything for God. Well, I'm there. I've got it. I've got that T-shirt. But I'm not ready to quit yet. I may have to be on a walker. They may have to carry me to the platform. But as long as I've got breath in this body, I hope God will let me try to preach His Word. I never will forget when I started Bible college in 1970. I was 18 years old. There was an old man in my class, brother. I mean an old man. And he was 72 years old. And I thought, my, what is he doing here? He could barely read and write. But he told the class that about 50 years before, God had called him to preach. And he had ran from God all of his life. And I guess he finally come to the place he couldn't run anymore. And he came to Bible college at 72 years old. Because God had called at him. And he made it through the year. I think a couple of years. He was still there when I left. Because he wanted to try to do for God what he had not done. The last 50 years. I wonder what could God have done with that man. If he had said yes to the Lord 50 years before he did. I don't want to waste my life and not do what God wants me to do. And I hope tonight that you will not waste your life. You young people here tonight, you need to be sensitive to the moving of the Holy Spirit in your life. And I assure you that you will be far better off. And you will feel so much better at the end of your life if you give him your heart now. Amen. Than if you waste your life doing your own thing, living your own way, only to come to the end and be sorry and regretful for how you've lived. Give him your life tonight. Say yes to him tonight. You moms and dads, give your life to Jesus tonight for the sake of your children, for the sake of your wife, for the sake of your husband, for the sake of your family. Give, go, pray what God would have you to do today. Let him challenge your heart afresh. And let him use you to reap the harvest that he has for you in these days. May we stand tonight. Oh, our Father, tonight, how I pray that you might speak to our hearts. Help us, our Father, tonight, that we might let you guide our steps. Direct our paths. We might let you this evening have us, all of us, fully and completely, that you might be able to use us in these days for your glory and for your honor. Father, have your way in this invitation, I pray. Speak to hearts this evening. We'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name.